far beyond our galaxy's boundaries, some 2 million light years away. Today we know that many cloudy-looking objects in the sky are really separate galaxies, gigantic collections of stars, as large or larger than our own Milky Way. Stardate is written by Deborah Bird, and it's produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, zip 78712. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Computers.
Sure.
If I hear another computer, I think I might scream.
516-246-7901.
That's not me screaming. That's Mike Uhas screaming.
Oh,
so she didn't think I could scream by myself. But they had to do it for me.
I lost my voice on that one, that's for sure.
Well, a lot of people do lose their voices when they scream, which isn't often. You know, the average person screams once every 52 months.
No.
A regular scream.
Now, where did you read that?
The same place President Reagan reads his things, Reader's Digest.
No, that's true.
Reader's Digest, the source of all fact and fantasy.
Yeah.
No, that is true. Once every 52 months. Some people think it's 52 weeks, which is a year, but that's not true. Because the situation
months.
That requires you to scream, well, you know, usually it's something like great fright or great anger, like you've just been mugged on the subway. In which case, you usually yell, come back here, which doesn't do any good at all. But sometimes you just feel like letting out a primeval scream, you know. And for the average person, that comes, you know, once in that period of time. For folks like John Lennon, though, who actually had scream therapy, comes a lot more often.
I see.
Yeah.
How often do you scream?
I haven't screamed yet, actually.
In your entire life?
I don't think I have. Unless it's been in my sleep, you know.
That could be. Didn't anybody ever tell you?
I'd be kind of afraid to tell somebody that they screamed.
In their sleep?
Yeah.
Hmm.
People do weird things in their sleep sometimes.
Well, I do weird things when I'm awake.
That's true, too.
So, how was your week this week?
Well, my week was pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying seeing the winter air come in. Cart machine is enjoying it, too.
See if we can get that on mic.
Laughing hysterically. There you go, mechanical laughter. So, it's finally hit us here. Scary. It really is scary. I'll never forget the time I was up here all by myself at 4 o'clock in the morning and I heard that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
We were driving home listening to you talking about how the cart machine was laughing or something was laughing and you didn't know what it was.
I didn't know it was cart machine.
I couldn't hear it.
I didn't know it was the cart machine, and I swear I didn't know that. I thought somebody was hiding around here laughing. It sounded like, you know, I don't know. It was really weird. Well, you just heard it.
Yeah.
It's definitely weird.
Well, your week?
My week was, you know, it was a good week.
No, I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't be asking.
I wish they would stop laughing like that. Okay. It was okay.
Oh, just okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Had a rather interesting experience this evening.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Let's hear it.
I was down at my local natural food grocery store picking up some rice. And waiting on line, and this woman on line before me, excuse me, on line in front of me, says,
Friday's the worst day for lines in stores. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I was in a couple of stores today, and the lines are just unbelievable.
Well, she says,
they go to the back of the store, and you know, talk about lines. You know, it was pre-registration week this week at Stony Brook.
Yeah,
lines
so
went outside the building.
Yeah.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, almost to the library. Yeah.
I've seen lines that are incredible. Excuse me. At the delicatessen downstairs, they loop around inside.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Like you meet the person at the beginning of the line when you're at the end.
I was waiting on line.
Sometimes, if you're lucky, you can pretend you're at the beginning when you're actually.
I was on line, and this woman says to me, I went to high school with you, but I don't remember your name. And I said, I don't remember your name either, but I told her who I was. Then she told me who she was, and we started talking.
Did you, in fact, remember her?
Yes. Yes, I did. And the things she was saying sounded really familiar about the same things that were happened to a different woman I had met before down on the beach over the summer that went by the same first name. I said, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Didn't I talk to you over the summer down at the beach? And she says, yeah. And it was just really a really weird situation.
Wait, you met this person that you already knew at the beach and you didn't know that you already knew her then?
That's right.
I find that more interesting than the fact that you met her twice since.
Well, you see, the first time I was soaking wet,
uh-huh.
Just gotten out of the beach, and I was wearing a pair of shorts at that point. And she had ridden her bicycle down and was in a pair of shorts and a shirt or a sweater or something like that, sweatshirt.
And are you in the habit of saying hello to strangers when
yes.
In that kind of a condition?
Yes, I am.
Speaking of which, do you know that a holiday is coming up that they've created either on Sunday or Monday? I'm not sure which, but you're supposed to say hello to 10 strangers
on that day.
Yes.
Really?
Stranger Day or something like
I
that.
I say hello to strangers.
But this is to promote world peace and things like that and getting to know all the other people.
But suppose you miscount and you say hello to 11 strangers.
Well, then you one up on next year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a good idea. I think it's, you know, it beats all the other holidays. That
what's the name of the holiday, though?
I think it's Stranger Day, something like that. It
sounds
is going to be a strange day for some people.
Yeah.
Say hello to 10 total strangers.
Just like
I wonder if you could call them up on the telephone and do that. If that counted. We'll have to think about
it. Why don't you call somebody up?
Okay, but you had a story.
Yeah.
All right, I have a story, too, and
you
I think
do?
My story can top your story.
It probably can't.
Okay. Let me think if I can remember. It happened a couple of years ago, so it has had time to age and become better. I used to, long time ago, well, about 3 years ago, I used to grade tests for somebody,
mm-hmm.
Okay, a teacher person, and it was for a different school. It wasn't for Stony Brook. It was for a school to the west of here, let's just say. Okay? And I graded a whole bunch of tests, you know, maybe 60 different people.
I think I heard this story before.
You did?
Oh. I think so.
Well, did you hear it over the air?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't want to be repetitious over the air. Real life is different. So, I remember grading a whole bunch of these tests, about 60 of them or so, and not very many stood out in my mind. I mean, how could they?
Mm.
Then one weekend, I decided to visit a friend of mine up in Geneseo. You ever hear of Geneseo?
Oh, yeah.
It's upstate New York. Very small college.
Yeah.
And I was up there visiting a friend of mine, and we were walking around the small campus, which is about a tenth the size of this one, and we were visiting some friends of his, and some friends of his had some friends of theirs up for the weekend, too. And
mm-hmm.
One of them was a girl, happened to be from Long Island. And I said, hey, what part of Long Island are you from? And she said something like Farmingdale or Oakdale or Sundale.
Hill and Dale, Roy and Dale, Chip and Dale, Airedale.
One of the Dales she was from.
Yeah.
And we just started talking about school. I guess, you know, you have to talk about school when you're talking to somebody. It just is programmed into you to do that.
Yeah.
And we started talking about school, and she said she was taking certain classes at a certain school. And I remembered, hey, this is the same certain school that I grade test for this certain teacher person mm-hmm. that I grade test for. Well, turned out she has a class with that person. And not only did she have a class with that person, but I graded her test. And not only that, but I remembered her test because she got the highest mark.
Uh-huh.
And I even wrote a comment on that test, the only test I had ever written a comment on.
What was the comment?
Good. Good. Because she got something like 89 out of 89, you know. It was a good effort, I thought, so she deserves some recognition.
So all she gets is just a good.
No, but think of it. Think of the chances of meeting somebody and of talking about it at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have met this person, but what would have inspired me to talk about one particular class?
That's true.
You know, it was pretty weird.
Okay.
You like that one better than yours?
I have a better one than that, though.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I might have told you
I'll
this
yield.
You know my friend Andy that you went to high school with.
That's a good story in itself.
I went to high
school with him, and then I met him at your house once.
Yeah, that's kind of wild, and I didn't know that he knew you and that you knew him, but it was.
But he did, and so did I.
Here, I had a big party at my house one day, and I'm talking to my friend Andy, and Eric walks in the door, and he says, "Is that Eric Corley?" And I said, "You know him?"
No, we never met before. I just wanted to surprise you.
Yeah. So anyway, he was living out in Chicago at this point.
Uh-huh.
And, well, actually not in Chicago proper, but in Chicago...
immoral.
In the suburbs of Chicago.
Yes.
And to get to his place from Midtown Chicago, I had to take a train to Bensonville and then a cab to Northlake.
Ooh.
That's
I
right.
I think I heard this story, too.
Yeah. It's right near... O'Hare Airport, right? So I have to get this cab. So I talked to the cab driver, and I said, I have to go to Northlake. He says, okay. Isn't there any other easier way that you can get from Chicago to Northlake than, like, cab and train and cab? I said, no, not that I know of. I'm not from around here. This is what I was told to do. He says, oh, you know. So I guess he thinks about it for a while, right? All right. You still listening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because usually you react somehow.
No, I'm listening. So, I don't know why he's expecting to react.
I don't know. I was kind of expecting an offbeat comment. Anyway, so he thinks about it for a while, and he says, yeah, I guess you're right. This is about the easiest way to get to Chicago, to Northlake. By the way, where are you from?
I said,
New York. He says, oh, yeah, where in New York? I said, Long Island. You ever heard of it? He says, Long Island? Where on Long Island? I said, Port Jefferson. He says, son of a gun, I used to be a cop there.
Gosh.
Yeah. Now, I think that almost tops yours.
That's a pretty good one.
I think that we're tied.
Well, I guess, yeah, that comes pretty close.
Yeah.
But still, you never met that cop. If that cop had once arrested you, then I think it would top my story.
Yeah.
Okay, because
true,
there was interaction between me and that person before we found out that...
I would have had to have been about 5 years old at the max when he arrested me, because he left in 63 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what's that you just pulled out of your pocket there?
Well, we have a couple of phone numbers that we're going to be accessing in a moment or two.
Oh, we don't dial anymore?
Yeah, we do dial sometimes.
Yeah.
But, speaking about dialing, if you're in the mood for dialing, you can dial us. That's right, we're here.
And what's the number?
Well, why don't I just let our friend Polly tell us this.
2-4-6-7-9-0-1.
Thank you, Polly.
Polly, huh?
Go away now.
It's very interesting.
Yes, I think so. Well, voice of Long Island, you're Mike Uhas over there.
That's right, and you claim to be Eric Corley.
Over here.
Hmm.
And together we're going to be bringing you some of the weirdest things you ever heard over
Speaking
the radio.
Speaking of weird.
Well, we're going to go into that in a little while. We have some avant-garde stuff. Yes,
yes.
Avant-garde. Oh, big stuff.
Oh, boy.
We're going to visit the real world, do all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
First, though, I'd like to do some Dubwise calisthenics over in the corner. Thank you.
Listen to what we found.
Hello?
Whoops. No one's perfect, you know. Okay, so we dialed the wrong number. It's not too late, at least, but we will be dialing the right number, so stay right where you are. We're sorry, we really are. Really?
Five, one, six, two, four, six, seven, nine, zero, one.
Okay, folks, let's try it again.
Message concerns peace and safety. Peace in our times has been the longing of many politicians and statesmen for a long, long time. But this has been an impossible dream. One of the most troubled spots in the world today is the Middle East. Wars and rumors of wars have come from that part of the world for years, and the effects have been felt in all corners of the globe. some hope for peace by the sudden actions of the Egyptian president, or the Israeli premier, or the president of the United States, or perhaps even the United Nations. But for the Bible students, there are vital warnings and encouraging messages concerning the Middle East. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." The prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 38 of his book, said, "When Israel shall dwell safely, dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates, that a great army shall come against them. It will be God who will save his people in the great day of battle that is coming. Egyptian peace treaties will not help them. In that day of battle to come, there will be swift destruction to the enemies of Israel, and the people will realize that their peace and safety lies not in treaties with other nations, but in trust in the Almighty God." Today we see the beginnings of drama unfolding. What is happening in Israel and with Egypt will bring in Russia and her friends against Israel in the day of battle. But like the enemies of Israel in the past, they will be finally overthrown by a faithful king of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Micah says, "This man, Christ, shall be peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land." Christ will come suddenly and unexpectedly in the world. Don't let his coming be sudden and unexpected to you. This message has been brought to you by the Christadelphians. For more information concerning these events, please leave your name and address when the tone is sounded. A booklet will be mailed to you free of charge. Thank you.
Hello? Operator? Hello?
Hello?
Mike would like to interrupt 246-7901 for an emergency call. Will you release the line?
I guess I have to. Yes, okay. Thank you very much,
Operator. All right, we'll call back.
I wonder what all that was about. Hello, could you say that again, please?
We are trying to reach Mr. Howard Tadpole.
Could you spell that last name?
E, like Thomas, R-I-P-O-D.
Howard Tripod? Oh, my goodness. No, there's no Howard Tripod here.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. Howard Tadpole.
Bye. Okay, seriously now, folks. I don't know who out there is trying to call Howard Tripod, but you won't find him here. No, no, no. You hear that, Mike?
What was that all about?
Someone interrupted our call to the righteous people of the Christadelphians, or whatever they are, with a call to Howard Tripod. They interrupted the call. Can you believe that?
I remember Howard Tripod.
Apparently somebody out there remembers him, too. God bless him.
Gosh. Yeah. In case you're Howard Tripod or something.
Yeah. Oh, a cart machine like that one. Well, we've been listening to the music of Burning Spear, the guys I drove in my limousine last year.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, what a story that was. Okay, we have, before we get into the real world tonight, we got a special feature for you out of the unreal world.
That's right. Adam Klein and Artie Schultz are...
They're traditional focused, aren't they?
Traditional focused, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of traditional folk, just for a moment...
why don't you adjust your microphone so it's pointing into your face?
Okay. How's that? It's great the way we can do things without letting anybody know that we're doing things in the studio.
That microphone cost $450.
Okay. That's very nice.
What, do you blow into it to check if it's working?
Yeah.
Oh.
Same reason you kick a tie to see if it... is there, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now speaking of traditional folk, there's a very good concert going on tomorrow night, and I think we should just let people know about it.
I think there's two very good concerts.
You do? Well, why don't you tell me what those two concerts are?
Well, the first one is the one we're going to be recording.
We're recording
eventual eventual broadcast, and that's the concert of Debbie McClatchy.
Yes.
Down in West Hampton. It's sponsored by the Long Island Traditional Music Association. She'll be singing songs of Ireland and San Francisco.
Hey, now she's really good.
You really do like her, don't you?
Yeah, she's got a very memorable voice, and she sings some really interesting songs.
And in fact, we'll probably even play some tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, it is tonight.
And that's later today.
8 o'clock p.m.
Yes, that's when it's going to be. And, 8 o'clock in West Hampton. And it's in the West Hampton First Presbyterian Church or something like that. It's on Meeting House Road, and it's cheap to get in, too.
Very cheap. We can't say exactly how cheap, but
sure
it is
we
cheap.
Can.
It's cheaper than most. We can't say that.
Yes, we can.
No, we can't.
They changed the rules.
I don't think we should.
Okay. But if you want to know, you can call us, and we don't know anyway.
No, we don't.
And the other interesting concert is...
Well, just let me say, if you want to go to that concert, a small plethora of USB personalities will be there to greet you.
Well, I don't know if they'll actually
greet you. Well, no, I just want to, you know... Too many people might show up, and that should cut down the audience.
Yeah, that it certainly would. But
it's going to be a good show, though.
It will be a good show. Well, I'm going to be there.
Both recommend unanimously that you go down.
Oh, you're going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there. You'll be there.
I'll be there with a bunch of friends, and it's going to be just a great time. It's going to be a good show. So that's at 8 o'clock tomorrow night in West Hampton.
We missed the Roaches tonight.
Yes, we did.
Now, there's a good article in the New York Times today about the Roaches, but we should have seen them, I think.
Yeah. Well,
we shouldn't be here right now. We should have seen the Roaches. Radio City Music Hall. How could you turn it down?
No, it was Carnegie Hall.
Whatever. Same place.
No, it isn't. It's even better. The other interesting show is also going on tomorrow night, and that's Adam Klein and Artie Schultz and all the whole group Zing.
The guys we're going to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually now they're not going to be playing this kind of stuff that... how about if we start running it now?
Okay.
And bring it up underneath us.
Okay.
But what this is a tape delay that they put together... not expressly for us, but we got ourselves a copy of it. And
that's pretty weird.
Yeah, it is. It's good stuff. But they're going to be playing at the Setauket Neighborhood House tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Same time.
That's the group Zing, yes. That's in Setauket. And if you need directions for either one of these places, just give us a call at...
516-246-7901.
And we'll tell you where to go.
We certainly will.
On The Voice
of Long Island.
Thank you.
Some rather interesting stuff here, huh?
I'd say so. That's probably the strangest stuff I've ever heard over this airwave.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Listen to, for instance, that kind of monotone whistling that someone did.
If you just tuned in, that thing there on the voice of
Long Island,
here is Adam Klein and Artie Schultz, and a delay with Cars. Sounds like, at one point it sounded like there's somebody taking pictures in there.
I don't know about that, but
what do you mean you don't know about that?
What does that sound like, someone taking pictures?
Well, it sounded like there was a bunch of clicks.
I heard
in
someone
there.
Say, hey, say cheese. What are you talking
no,
about?
No, no, no. It sounded like a camera going.
Nah.
Sure it did.
No, I heard steel drums at one point.
No, that was a tongue drum, but what
right now I hear like cucaracha things.
Those are bones.
Oh.
But I heard, it sounded like an icon or something.
And I heard whistling, but
I'm not supposed to say brand names.
I heard et toi? Why is he speaking French? Et toi?
I don't know, but I definitely think it sounded like he was taking pictures there.
Where do you get such a crazy idea?
It sounded, because just the way it was clicking, I don't know what it was, whether it was his bones or... Was it?
Are you sure? I don't know what it was. Was
he playing a pair of spoons, or was it actually a camera? I mean, he has everything else.
Trust me, it was not. No one has ever taken a picture on a record before.
Well, this isn't a record. It's
people take pictures of records and tapes, but they don't take pictures on records and tapes. Okay. All right. Let's clear this up now.
Wait a minute. Is this going to be a full blown argument here, or what?
I'm just stating a fact. He did not take pictures on a song. No matter how weird this song is, someone does not take a picture, you know, and expect... come on.
Well, look, did you see the other side of this? The other side is it is...
How can you see the other side of a tape?
Well, it's four-track, quarter-track, see. So there is another side.
I mean, did I hear the other side?
Well,
get your expression straight.
The title is Delay with Sync, not S-Y-N-C-H. But S-I-N-K. In fact, I think we'll probably listen to it after 2 o'clock.
What, does he play the kitchen sink?
That's true. So now why can't he conceivably play a camera? We're talking about Adam Klein and Artie Schultz. You know,
yeah.
Okay.
He did not play a camera. Let's take my word for it, okay?
Let's settle this once and for all.
It's settled in my head.
Let's call him up.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Let's wake somebody else up in the middle of the morning. We've already done it to one person. Fine, let's wake up another person.
Well, you called the wrong number, you know.
Well, it wasn't my fault. They picked up.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's give him a call.
You're responsible for this.
Yeah, let me just...
I mean, I'm saying from the beginning it was not a camera.
I'm just going to get the phone book.
You're going to get the phone... Are you really doing this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mike, you're crazy. Going to wake up this poor guy? My goodness. Just because Mike has the crazy conception that someone was taking a picture... on the music we're hearing. Sometimes you astound even me. Okay, here's
the phone book.
All right, I want you to look up the number and give the guy a call. Can we just absolve me from all blame at this point?
Why? You
future
you're
lawsuits
wrong?
And things like that? No, I'm talking about waking up this guy. It's because you have some silly idea about cameras and our record.
It sounded like he was taking pictures there.
I mean, you know, it's going to bear me out, and you're just going to look like a fool.
Well, I got to know for my own.
Yeah, sure. Okay, fine.
L.
I'll just sit here and wait for...
J. Ah, here he is.
Sounded like you were taking a picture when you picked up that phone.
Maybe he was picking up the phone.
Okay. Go ahead.
One ringy ding.
I don't believe this.
Hello, may I speak to Adam, please?
Speaking.
Adam,
welcome
up.
I knew it.
This is Mike Juhas over at WUSB Radio.
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing?
Not bad. Did I wake you up?
No, not really.
Yeah, come on. He woke you up, didn't he? He woke you up.
It's privileged information.
Yeah, sure. He woke him up. Oh, boy.
We got a...
Mike's idea to call you, not mine.
What?
We got a copy of your tape here.
Oh, yeah, right.
And,
Yeah, you like that? Well, that's God. And the first 10 minutes of it kind of, you know, it takes a while to get into it, but it's good.
Well, we're trying to get into it right now, but we have a little, little dispute here.
Mike has a little problem.
Oh, yeah?
And now, it sounded like at one point in there that you were actually taking pictures.
Pictures.
Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
No, pictures, no. No, at one point, he's rolling a glass down the driveway. But Artie does most of the sound effects, you know. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like the icing on the cake. I'm the cake, and he's the icing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm in there busy doing the dulcimers, and he's out there rolling bottles and shit. Rolling bottles and banging on the oil drum out there. And I don't know, some sound he made there sound like a saw. But it wasn't a saw. I had absolutely no idea what it was, and he wouldn't tell me. But there's no camera.
No camera, huh?
No camera. He might have been a bone. It's probably a bone or something.
It was probably
what it was.
Yeah, probably his bones. He's good at the bones.
Yeah, he played bones and I played bones, and we had a whole bunch of different sets, and he might have just clicked them just right, you know, made it sound like a camera.
With an auto
one. I have to try a camera sometime. I have a Canon. I'll have to try that.
Well, that certainly settles everything. Well, while I have you on the line, you're going to be playing tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to be in the Setauket Neighborhood House, right?
Yes, it is. And we're going to do a whole bunch of weird, different stuff, ranging from Baroque art songs to Beatles, and a whole bunch of stuff in between. It's going to be really neat. And plenty of tongue drum and a whole bunch of dulcimers and
bones.
Flute. I've got a flutist down there. It's going to be really neat.
And you're going to have bones and stuff, too? And
oh, yeah, plenty of bones.
And spoons?
Lots of bones.
I guess you were the first person who ever taught me how to play bones.
Yeah, and Artie was the first person to sell you bones.
That's right, and you were the second.
yeah, that's right.
You're going to have to teach me how to play spoons.
Okay, they're not so hard as bones. You just have to, you can only play one pair at a time.
Yeah.
Traditional bones. You can actually play spoons like bones, but that's cheating, you know. You might as well be playing bones. But
well, I think I can play bones pretty good now.
Yeah?
Yeah, surprisingly. But I'm going to have to try the spoons. They keep flapping all over the place, and they...
Well, there's two different schools of how to hold spoons. I try to promote the side. The way I hold them, they come out at right angles from your arm instead of straight out, as if you were really, you know, holding a baton or something, and they come out like you're hitchhiking your thumb, you know, that's the direction the spoons come out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works. You have to bend them just right. But there are ways to stop them from flapping. They're very hard to hold. That's one reason I don't play them. They don't stay in your hand very well. Best thing to do is to tape them up. That usually helps them stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's really great. Actually, Eric just went back in the back there, trying to get a record of yours. What is this tune that you queued up here, Eric?
Well, it's a tune that I'm kind of fond of, actually. It's called The Year of Jubilo.
Oh, that's a nice one, yeah.
Yeah, I like that song a lot, the way you guys do it.
Yeah, what do we got? I got the juju's harp and auto harp and dulcimer harp.
It's really,
that's a
really lively song, and it's kind of... Well, I mean, the stuff we're listening to now is not what you're going to hear at a concert tomorrow night, but more like the stuff we're about to listen to.
Yeah, more like... Yeah, we got a bunch of auto harp tunes, too.
Well, listen, I'm sorry that I woke you up.
Oh, that's all right. I was only sleeping.
Yeah.
No big deal.
All right, well...
I'm sorry I can't see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, what can you do, you know? I mean, you got to go... what, you going to record somebody?
Yeah, we're going to record Debbie McClatchy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that should be fun, you know? I mean, if I wasn't doing anything else, I'd maybe check on out there myself. But what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? Well, listen, say hi to your buddy Artie Schultz for me.
I certainly will. I should see him tomorrow morning. He's coming over to mind the house while I'm gone.
Oh. Okay, well, you go back and enjoy your sleep.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And enjoy your program. Keep it up.
Yeah, I think
we'll... Pigeon Boss Station in the Nation. Yeah.
I think we'll be playing the Delay with Sync after 2 o'clock. So,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Get about 15 minutes into it before you start it, though. It's the same kind of deal, you know. It takes a while to warm up. I was still setting levels while it was going on.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, we have to run along. And thanks, and get some sleep.
Yeah, it's been nice talking to you, Mike. See you around. See you around. Thanks a lot.
So long.
Hello, everybody. Hi, America. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Well, I hope you're happy.
Well, okay,
walk the poor guy up.
So he wasn't playing the camera.
No, he wasn't playing the camera. Let's just leave that, because it's just embarrassing to you to have to talk about it anymore. Something so ridiculous as playing a camera on a record. I mean, oh, boy. The number to complain to is
516-246-7901.
Brother, have you seen the master with the mustache on his face? He went out of here sometime this morning like he's gonna leave this place. He's seen the smoke way up the river where the Lincoln gunboats lay. Well, he packed his bags and he left mighty sudden. I believe he's gone away. Oh, the master run, ha-ha, and the darkies say, ho-ho. So now must be the kingdom coming in the year of Jubilo. Well, he's 6 foot one way, 3 foot the other, and he weighs 300 pounds. And his coat's so big that he couldn't pay the tailor, and it won't fit halfway round. He drilled us so we call him captain, and he got so mighty tan. I expect he'll try to fool them Yankees, but I think he's contraband. Oh, the master run, ha-ha, and the darkies stay, ho-ho. So now must be the kingdom coming in the year of Jubilo. The overseer, he got restless and he run us round a spell. So we locked him down in the smokehouse cellar with the key thrown down the well. Now his lips got lost and his hands got broken and the master will have his pay. But he's big enough and old enough and should have known better than to try and run away. Oh, the master run, ha-ha, and the darkies stay, ho-ho. So now must be the kingdom coming in the year of Jubilo. Darkies all got lonesome living in their log huts on the lawn. So we moved into the master's pantry for to keep it while he's gone. There's wine and cider in the kitchen and the darkies will all have some. But I expect it'll all be confiscated when the Lincoln soldiers come. Oh, the master run, ha-ha, and the darkies stay, ho-ho. So now must be the kingdom coming in the year of Jubilo.
WUSB Stony Brook.
And now the voice of Long Island journeys outward from its protective shield to visit the real world. This week on The Real World, we have a very special treat for you. We're going to journey back to the year of 1973, November 26th to be precise, when a man called Congressman Gerald Ford spoke at Colony Hill in Hauppauge, Long Island. We'll be hearing a press conference after the speech at a
Republican fundraising dinner. And it lasts for approximately 15 minutes. November 26, 1973, Congressman Gerald Ford, this week on The Real World.
Glad to accommodate in any way I can. We're a little handicapped with all of the problems here, but I think in light of the informality here, it would be better if we just let you all go ahead and ask questions.
Mr. Ford, your speech tonight cannot be considered perhaps your personal and perhaps administrative policy of the United States toward Israel and perhaps continued support?
Well, my speech tonight is quite indicative of the support the United States has given to Israel and its continued dedication to the integrity of Israel. I think it's a very good substantiation of the attitude that the United States has toward Israel and the solution of the problems in the Middle East.
The Prime Minister of Israel feels that the United States is backing off on its commitment. Do you believe this to be true?
I don't think that's accurate. I believe that there has to be some overall understanding of the need and necessity for the benefit of everybody, that all nations give a little bit in order to avoid the kind of tragic losses in personnel and all the other things that were involved in the recent war. And it seems to me that it's to the mutual advantage of everybody to make sure that at the negotiating table we end up with a permanent solution to this gnawing problem that's plagued the Middle East for the last several centuries.
Congressman, in spite of the Arab oil boycott, do you think the United States should in any way change its position?
I don't think we should sacrifice our principles for a little inconvenience as far as the United States is concerned. If the United States loses its integrity in its relationship to all nations on the basis that we'd like to be a little more, a little warmer, a little happier, then I think we've lost our leadership throughout the world. So I happen to think that a little sacrifice by us in order to stand for principle would be good for us in the long run.
Republicans really haven't seen you before. Are you also here to give them an idea as to what their possibly future vice president or even president is all about?
Well, I hope I'm going to be vice president in the relatively near future. But I'm only here as an invited guest for a good cause. And it has no relationship on whether or not I get confirmed or not.
Mr. Congressman said the hint that he might even resign. If he were to call you on the phone and say, Kerry, what should I do? What would you tell him?
Well, I'm not the best person to give Nelson Rockefeller any advice. He's a very experienced and a very successful political leader and a statesman, in my opinion. His judgment in the political field is as good, if not better, than mine, and I would be presumptuous to give him any advice.
Would you like to see him in more than
about liberal Democrats and how dangerous they are to the country, or how they could be dangerous to the country?
Would you repeat that again?
Yes. Your remark about liberal Democrats and being dangerous to the country. Can you elaborate on that a bit, and do you compare them to, say, the John Mercer?
Well, let me just say that correspondence that was used in the hearing today was a personal letter written to a 35-year friend of mine who had written me a letter complaining that I was being too liberal. And I was trying to respond to him to calm his fears, and I I think some of the more extreme democratic liberal principles, if you look at them in an individual case, are undermining our free enterprise system, and that was the context in which I used the comment.
Charters in this guard against something like this, this danger to our way of life.
Well, I'm not planning on being president, and so I think it's speculative for me to make any comments.
If you were on a football field, where would you like your position to be at this particular point?
Well, I always like to be inside of the 50-yard line as far as I'm concerned, but it looks like confirmation is coming along real well, and I can't complain about the care and the scrutiny that the House and Senate committees have given me. I think it's good, and I hope I pass the test.
Congressman, are you ruling yourself out as a presidential candidate?
Young lady, I'll answer her.
Would you support creating the oil industry as public utilities to help alleviate any oil shortages, that they would be regulated as public utilities?
I see no evidence that turning the oil industry over to a public affair or a public organization would help to solve the problem. The current oil crisis is not the result of any failure on the part of the oil industry. It's the result of some international problems. It's the result of a combination of slowness of action by both the Congress and the executive branch, and it seems to me that we shouldn't nationalize an industry just because of some other failures across the line.
Mr. Ford, are you definitely ruling yourself out as a presidential candidate? Are you definitely ruling yourself out?
Oh, I'm very definitely ruling myself out as a presidential candidate. Well, 76 and certainly for any time thereafter.
Mr. Ford, suppose you were selected as the vice president in 1976. Would you turn down the Republican nomination for president?
I will stand by the statement that I've made repeatedly, and I say it as strongly as I can. I have no intention whatsoever of running for any political office in 1976.
What would you refuse, Mr. Ford?
I can't speculate beyond saying what my present intention is, and I'll stick by that, sir.
Mr. Ford, you said before that everybody should make sacrifices because of the energy crisis. What personal sacrifices are you making, and how do you feel about the president's policies that he announced Sunday night?
Well, I think the president's policy of restricting gasoline sales over Sunday is a step in the right direction. And I couldn't help but notice that on the same program that I watched at 11 o'clock on the news in Washington, that Germany and many other European nations had no automobile driving on Sunday. So as difficult as this seems to be to some people in the United States, that you can't buy gas on Sunday, I think on a relative basis, we ought to consider ourselves well off.
How about personal stuff? What are you doing personally to save energy?
Well, I tell you, the Ford family has got its thermostats down to about 67. We've turned off our swimming pool heater because it's necessary and good judgment. As much as I like to swim in the wintertime, we drive as little as we can. I think we're doing all that one family can do in this area.
A time will come when the oil pressure will be so great that the United States will have to change its policy towards Israel and vis-a-vis the Arab nation.
Well, I would hope not. It seems to me that any long-range action by some of the Middle Eastern countries in forcing us to take a certain diplomatic policy because we might be short of energy would be short-sighted from their point of view. In the meantime, of course, we in the United States, by a wide variety of measures, must increase our own energy capability, and we can't and we will. In the meantime, I think it would be very short-sighted for some of the Middle Eastern countries to put us in the squeeze or in the bind.
But is that a threat?
And, no, that's not a threat. I'm just talking practically. Because we have to live in America, we have to live in the world a lot longer than today or tomorrow or next year. And the United States can be energy self-independent by 1980 if we make a maximum effort on our own, and we're going to do it, and then we won't be in a position where somebody could possibly utilize a threat or a boycott. And I just hope that everybody, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, realize that what we do on a short-term basis and what we do on a long-term basis is aimed at making the United States or make it independent of any outside pressures, and we can and we will. Thank you very much.
Congressman Gerald Ford talking to reporters at the Colony Hill in Hauppauge. About 4,000 people paid $250 a plate for the baked filet mignon dinner. It was to raise money for Israel for the United Jewish Appeal. That's it.
And this is the point where somebody picked up the telephone and cut off the transmission. Yes, USB was only AM in those days. But we did hear Congressman Gerald Ford at a press conference at Colony Hill in Hauppauge, Long Island, on November 26, 1973. It was after a speech at of the Republican fundraising dinner. And what a glorious event that was. Well, that's all from the real world today. Join us once again, why don't you, when the Voice of Long Island once again takes a look at the real world. Seat belt, 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 seat bel
Cryptic quack, 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 quack
Responsible for that.
Who was responsible for this?
Yes.
Well, here's the album cover. It's called Lexical Music by Charles Amakanian.
Sounds Armenian to me.
Yeah, it's on Arch Records, my
1750 life. Arch Records.
Yes. 1750 is their address, isn't it? Oh, no, I'm sorry. 1750 Arch Studios, Berkeley, California.
Right. That's very interesting. The first time I had ever heard that was Monday on the classical program hosted by Rich Koch.
They are on 1750 Arch Street.
Yeah.
Well, the 1750 Arch Incorporated, 1750 Arch Records, a division of 1750 Arch Incorporated.
That can wait for a minute.
Library of Congress catalog number 79750. I bet they're real upset they didn't get 1750.
You know, I was looking through a record catalog tonight, in fact,
yeah,
and their records are numbered starting with 1751.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Excuse me for a minute.
You're welcome.
Bless me.
I don't have that power, but
anyway,
continue.
I heard that first on Rich Koch's program this Monday, and I have to credit him for turning me on to that.
Credit granted. It's 1:30. Do you know what that's time for?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Weatherman, what do you say? Will it be nice? Or will it be stormy today?
Well, showers and a few thundershowers from South Carolina into Mississippi and northward through the Ohio Valley into the Great Lakes and upper Mississippi Valley. That's right, morning rain changing to snow over most of North Dakota, snow also falling over the northern half of Montana and in portions of Wyoming and Idaho. Scattered rain showers in western Washington and northwestern Oregon, generally sunny skies elsewhere. Highs into the 60s from the Carolinas into the lower Great Lakes and mid-Mississippi Valley, with readings in the upper 40s or 50s over the remainder of the Northeast. Highs in the 70s from the Gulf Coast states and into the lower Mississippi Valley and southern plains. Highs in the 20s or 30s from the northern high plains into the northern half of the Intermountain region, reaching into the 40s over much of the central Rockies and Pacific Northwest. Milder temperatures over the remainder of the West.
And during the past few hours, a developing storm system moving into the high plains spread a swath of snow and chilling winds in its wake. Up to 10 inches of new snow fell over portions of the Utah mountains. The system also brought some high winds with gusts in excess of 60 miles an hour in central Wyoming. Heavy thundershowers continued to dump rain in eastern Texas and Louisiana, with minor flooding reported in many sections. Rain showers extended through the lower Mississippi Valley into the lower Great Lakes. Light showers also fell along the North Pacific coast and over portions of the Florida Peninsula.
Major map features today: cold front extending from James Bay across eastern extreme southeastern Manitoba into a low over south central North Dakota, then continuing into the southeastern corner of Montana, and then becoming a stationary front and stretching northwest into south central British Columbia. Cold front dropping from the North Dakota low through the Nebraska Panhandle and southwestern Colorado into a low over extreme northwestern Arizona, and continuing across northern Baja California into the Pacific. A warm front reaching from the eastern Gulf of Mexico through eastern Mississippi and central Missouri into east central Nebraska, low coast of British Columbia, high east of New Brunswick.
Tomorrow's predicted map features: a cold front curving over from a low over west-central Ontario across central Lake Superior, northeastern Illinois, southwestern Missouri, and extreme southeastern New Mexico into northern Mexico. A warm front extending from east-central Alabama, central Kentucky, and northeastern Indiana to join the cold front over northern Lake Michigan. Warm front reaching from the Ontario low into west-central Quebec. Stationary front stretching from north-central South Dakota into south-central British Columbia. Low, south-central British Columbia. High, east-central Nevada.
New York City Central Park. 1 a.m. temperature was 44 degrees, partly cloudy, humidity 68%, dew point 34, a barom 30.59 steady, wind northeast 10 mph, and that's it.
And for the updated Suffolk County forecast, tonight mostly cloudy, lows 40 to 45. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, highs 50 to 55. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a 40% chance of an occasional drizzle, low 40 to 45. Winds east to northeast tonight and tomorrow, 10 to 15 miles per hour. The outlook for Saturday calls for cloudy with a 40% chance of drizzle, high in the low 50s. Small craft advisories remains in effect for Long Island waters tonight, east to northeast winds at 15 to 25 knots and choppy seas.
Thank you very much. The international temperatures for today are Athens 54F 12C in cloudy, Bonn 47F 9C rain, Casablanca 53F
12C, partly cloudy. Dublin, 41F, 5C, rain. Dubwise, 25F, minus 4, and frigid. Madrid, 41F, and 5C, and that was clear. Paris, 43F, 6C, clear. Gargantua, 43F, 6C, smoky. Hong Kong, 68F, 20C, clear. Tokyo, 58F, 14C, haze. Banana Republic City, 84F, 29C, and hot. London, 42F, 6C, and clear. And Hunselberg, 32F, 0C, and blue. First female balloon?
2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 0, 1. That's the pianistic expressionism of Joanne Grauer. I'm Ben Sidran, inviting you to join me when Jazz Alive presents highlights of the 5th Annual Women's Jazz Festival. We'll also hear the eclectic swing of Barbara Carroll. And the electrifying vocals of Ms. Nancy Wilson. That's the 5th Annual Women's Jazz Festival on NPR's Jazz Alive.
Yeah, get down. That's Jazz Alive. Comes your way every Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Made possible in part through an underwriting grant from the Graduate Student Organization here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook.
Get down!
Yeah, this is another part of USB's Radio Free Weekend.
Hi, this is Joel Block. Explore.
Sorry about that. We'll get back to Joel a little later.
I'm Joel Block.
Start date November 24th.
You boys and girls out there, this is Joe King Carrasco, and you are
Whoa, 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 who's killing all the people here?
I don't know. Must be the terrorists.
Now here's the news.
President President Reagan and members of his cabinet met Friday to talk about the 1984 budget. The cabinet looked at requests from federal agencies for operating funds, and administration sources say the president resolved to cut $30 billion from agency budgets. Sources say defense spending and the possible change in the timing for next year's tax cut were not discussed in detail. The president is to present his fiscal 1984 budget to Congress in January. Budget Director David Stockman now has the job of reviewing each program in the budget. He'll start Saturday. Analysts say the Federal Reserve Board's decision to cut down the discount rate from 9.5% to 9% shows the central bank is paying more attention to the economy than the money supply. The chief economist at the Bank of America in San Francisco says the Fed's decision is a good sign for the economy. The cut takes effect Monday. The Federal Home Loan Bank Board says federal regulators have approved the closing of a Kansas Savings and Loan Association. The firm will be liquidated. It's the first such action in almost a year and a half. The board says depositors' accounts will be transferred to another savings and loan. The first time that has ever been done.
State public health officials told a House investigative subcommittee a cleanup is needed on sites near St. Louis where the chemical PCB has been found. The Environmental Protection Agency says it doesn't have enough information on the sites to take action, but some scientists say EPA figures show an unacceptable increase in the risk of cancer for residents near the spill area. A section of highway in central Idaho closed for 8 hours because of a PCB spill has been reopened. State police say a small amount of the toxic chemical was spilled during a truck accident near Craters of the Moon National Park. Striking teachers in the west central Pennsylvania county of Indiana have been ordered back to work by a county judge. Their 11-week walkout is the longest of five public teachers' strikes in that state. Homicide detectives in Los Angeles have given their report on the Twilight Zone movie helicopter crash to district attorney's investigators. Actor Vic Morrow and two child actors were killed in the July crash of the chopper on the movie set. Officials gave no details on the content of the 50-page report. The Indianapolis child who underwent a liver transplant earlier this week died Friday night. One-year-old Wesley Wright's new liver did not function. His doctors started to look for a second liver Friday, but couldn't find a donor in time.
The livestock and meat prices were sharply lower in active trading Friday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Drexel Burnham analyst John Ginzel says recent support in the market had pushed futures prices too far above cash prices and prices fell back Friday. He says the cattle on feed report released by the Agriculture Department on Tuesday continued to put pressure on cattle.
In the weather, it's 9 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook, 48 Fahrenheit.
Little stretcher in here?
Yeah. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows 40 to 45. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, highs 50 to 55. There must be a reason why you're standing on top of... trying to make funny noises with the microphone, huh? Well, we just discovered something, huh? We have a funny noisemaker in the back of the microphones. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows 40 to 45. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, highs 50 to 55. Tomorrow night, cloudy, with a 40% chance of occasional drizzle. Low 45 to 50. Look out for those winds. They'll be east to northeast tonight and tomorrow, 10 to 15 miles per hour. And the outlook for Sunday calls for cloudy with a 40% chance of drizzle. Drizzle is light rain. High in the low 50s. Well, that's a great instrument you found there. There's a little spring on the microphones that Mike has discovered, and he's twanging away. But we got to go now, you know? It's Mike, why don't you sit down? Why don't you sit down?
What's the sense?
Okay, don't sit down. Fall down.
fall down instead. Well, it doesn't look as if Mike is going to be able to say goodbye this week.
Goodbye!
But I'll say goodbye for him. And we'll both be back. Well, I'll be back anyway next Friday night, Saturday morning, 12.02 a.m. Till then, take care of yourselves. Bye.
Out of bed at 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the Locarno. Go through the door. I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Bouncers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I go out on Friday night. The bar gets full. I don't like life when things get dull. The hen party have saved the night. They free themselves from drunken stacks. Having fun and dancing in a circle round the leather bags. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday.
You're in tune to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook.
right.
Thank you.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
Insights, a daily feature of this station. I'm Bob Musel. The Army recently shipped its new main battle tank, the M1, to NATO. Many critics...